Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live and local sports talk from the Upstate.
For the Upstate.
With G-Mac, JC, and Lonzo. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Welcome into the Huddle, ESPN Upstate, Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January. Yeah, another nice day today. Not quite as warm as yesterday, but still very pleasant for this time of year. Welcome into the Huddle for the next 3 hours. We'll talk sports with you. Tons of stuff to get to today. Mel Kiper Jr. is out with his mock draft for the upcoming NFL draft. Where does he have Deshaun Watson? Where does he have Mike Williams? We'll talk about that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Just heard the news about the Raiders' move to Las Vegas, having been filed for, I guess is the word. 24 out of 32 owners have to approve that, but that's progressing. We'll get into that a little bit. Spent some time on the Packers and the Falcons earlier, like today, to talk to you about Pittsburgh and New England. What do the Steelers need to do to upset the New England Patriots this Sunday? We'll get into that. Hear from Brian Billick on that. Baseball Hall of Fame stuff from last night. We'll hear from Bob Costas on that. And I think JC has a little take on that in the Hot Takes and Sausage segment today, which is also coming up. I like this. There's a Mississippi lawmaker who has proposed a bill to curb NCAA investigations. Are you shocked that that came out of Mississippi? Probably not. We'll tell you what this guy has in mind with his legislation and what we think about that coming up. Contest today, we will give you a chance to win more tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show. And, of course, right before 2 o'clock, a chance to win $1,000. Which would you rather have, $1,000 or go to the auto show? Well, you don't have to choose. You can play both contests today. So we have that for you coming up with a little trivia on the way and a keyword for the $1,000. And we will take your calls as well at 844-477-3776 on the text line driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore 71307. And you can get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate.
And now the opening drive. Here's what's trending in the sports world on the Huddle.
We called it. South Carolina gets the win. How much of an upset is South Carolina's win at home over Florida? 19th ranked in the AP poll this week, but a top five RPI team. So that's what's so good about it for South Carolina. It's a big win for the Gamecocks. And they hold off Florida 57-53 on a night when the Gamecocks shoot less than 30% from the floor. So, you know, you got to feel fortunate if you win, shooting 29.4%. The good thing for South Carolina is Florida from three-point range, 0-for-17. I think I heard this, JC. You may have heard it as well. First time since like 92 that Florida went a whole game without a three-pointer? Something like that?
It's been 850 straight games until last night. So wow. That's look, the first 7 minutes of this ball game were scoreless. I mean, I think till like the 12 or 13-minute mark. And it was ugly, you know, if you like scoring, but the defenses both teams were playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida came out, matched South Carolina's intensity on the defensive end, and really South Carolina shot 29% for the game and still won, mm-hmm. Which is amazing.
Really is.
But it was a defensive struggle, and, it's like Frank Martin said afterwards, and I know we have some audio of him later.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way NCAA tournament games go. Games like that happen in the tournament sometimes, and it was two really good defensive teams going at it, and the Gamecocks pulled out what I thought was a gritty win because, you know, Dozier was not on, obviously, on offense until the end. Thornwell did not play well in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Felder and some of those other guys kind of, you know, kept the Gamecocks in it.
A lot of foul trouble.
And then foul trouble. But, you know, in the second half, Thornwell came in, did his thing. Chris Silva, I thought, was huge in the second half because Florida started scoring in the paint almost at will. And so, you know, hats off to the Gamecocks. That's a big win. You know, Jerry Palm and some others had some things out there about how, you know, the Gamecocks hadn't beaten anybody, hadn't played anybody. You know, this was a somebody. This is, if you're going by the RPI, which these people are, Florida was the sixth ranked team in the country and South Carolina won. And that was a big one. Now they go to Kentucky and, that's not going to hurt the RPI win or lose.
No.
So I think that's a good opportunity for the Gamecocks to play a loaded Wildcats team up there in Rupp on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's hear from Frank Martin. He talked, first of all, about how the South Carolina Gamecocks started so slow and struggled in the first half, but so did Florida.
Neither one was giving up the paint, and they started attacking the rim off the dribble, and our guys settled. We never attacked to get to the foul line, and that's all we spoke about in the second half, is being more aggressive offensively, not settling for jump shots, and that's why we shot some free throws in the second half.
And Darius Thornwell, 5 points in the first half, but ended up with 20 total points in this game. What can you say about his effect when he got going in the second half?
That's why you love seniors. You know, you love seniors that are good players. They embrace the moment. They don't panic. They don't get rattled because of the score, the situation. And then he goes out and makes every single play. He didn't have a very good game defensively. You know, but that's it's hard to ask somebody to be perfect like he's been for us every time he's played.
Coach, Saturday coming up, you've got Kentucky. Certainly easier to prepare for that one coming off of this win, but what will your focus be as you turn toward that matchup with now a chance to potentially get two huge wins?
I'm going to pray a lot in the next 48 hours. I'm going to make sure I go to church again and put my arms together and make sure I call for the Almighty to help us out and give us some courage to go into Rupp Arena. I know our guys are going to play hard. There's no doubt about it. They're so good. They're so fast. That it's going to be an unbelievable challenge for us. But you know what? We're playing for sole possession of first place in January, where we were at 4 years ago. To have that opportunity today, it's credit to these kids.
Coach, to say that you've worked hard to get this program to the point that it's at right now would be an understatement, in my opinion. And seeing the crowd go as wild as they were there tonight, what do you think that says when you take a moment to just soak that in with what this fan base is doing to support you guys?
Yeah, we're top 20 in the country in attendance. Anyone who knows anything about the Gamecocks knows that our fan base is loyal and unbelievably passionate about their school. We're starting to play basketball with unbelievable passion, and I think our fans respect that, and they're coming. And now we've created a home court environment, something we didn't have a couple years ago.
About 17,000 there last night.
Yeah, good crowd. Yeah,
and loud. They got loud. I wasn't able to watch it. I was over to football banquet for Burns, but I heard some of it on the radio and it sounded loud. I had a buddy that was texting me from the game down there. He said it was a great environment, and that's going to help South Carolina. I know they won't have that benefit this weekend. They're on the road against Kentucky, but it's becoming a kind of a fun place to see basketball and getting a little bit of a reputation as a tough place to go.
Yeah, well, especially later in the year. You know, I'm still of the opinion that they start college basketball about 3 weeks too early. And it's hard at South Carolina or any of the SEC football schools, or SEC schools outside of Kentucky and maybe Vanderbilt, to get, you know, a large crowd in there, no matter who you play. I mean, South Carolina played Michigan at home earlier this year. It was a huge game, but it was a 5 o'clock tip-off on a Wednesday night the week before, I think, Clemson played South Carolina. So, or South Carolina played Clemson in football. So it's a difficult draw at times, but I'll say this, that arena, when they do get 15 to 18,000 in it, it is loud. It does get very, very loud. I mean, oftentimes, I think the Colonial Life Arena, CLA, whatever they call it, gets a reputation for being this big cavernous, gaudy facility that, you know, is half empty all the time. And Frank Martin loves to tell the story about how he could hear somebody talking on his cell phone across the court when he first got there. But when it's filled, it's a loud arena, and you know it's a good environment, and you know it's good that they're drawing better because, you know, I've been convinced through the last 2 years that, you know, the men's basketball program at South Carolina could draw better. And I think what it is this. For basketball, unless you're really good, you're not going to draw a lot of people outside of Columbia. And in Columbia, you know, you got people that are always going to go to football. Obviously, football is a big deal once a week. Then you have baseball that gets overwhelming support, you know, for that sport at that school in a nice facility. And then the women's basketball program has taken off and has led the country in attendance, and they get 12 to 14,000. And during this time of the year, you know, you can go to 3 or 4 games a week. Mm. I mean, sports is entertainment. The entertainment dollar with regards to the Gamecocks has been sort of fractured. And I think a lot of Gamecock fans, because they've been so bad for so long, are so mediocre for so long, they're kind of in show me mode. But, you know, showing up with 17,000 for this game, which was obviously extremely important, is a tribute to the fan base and a sign that, you know, basketball can get the support that it deserves on the men's side at South Carolina.
Coming up at about 2:20, we're going to talk live with former Gamecock player Kerry Rich, who works with you at the Big Spur, and get his thoughts on last night's game. Big win for the Gamecocks, so that's coming up at about 2:20 this afternoon. Also last night, number 7 West Virginia lost to Oklahoma, 89-87. That was an overtime game. Florida State held off Notre Dame, 83-80. Good game there. Florida State now 17-2. And both those teams are now 5-1 in the ACC. Yeah, Virginia, that beat Boston College last night, 71-54. And number 20, Cincinnati, beat Temple, 81-74. Clemson, Louisville tonight. We'll get more into that one a little later on, but we'll have that one for you here on ESPN Upstate. Tough road game for the Tigers. They need a win, but this is the number 12 team in the country, and you got to play at their place. 8:30 is the airtime tonight for the Tigers and Louisville. 9 o'clock is the tip on that one. All right, 844-477-3776. Get you in with us here in the huddle. Text line 71307. We'll be back with more coming up. Stay with us. The Thursday edition, The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
You're in the huddle. G-Mac, Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
121, back in the huddle. ESPN Upstate, Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, Lonzo. With you till 4 this afternoon. You can get a hold of us at 844-477-3776. I love this. This takes, what, cojones? What's the word?
Cojones.
Trey Lamar is a Mississippi state representative from Senatobia. I can't say that I've ever heard of Senatobia, Mississippi. You traveled the world, JC. Have you been there?
I've been there. There's a junior college over there, I think, Northwest Mississippi.
So you really have been to Senatobia? Okay.
Yeah, it's over kind of in near the Delta. It's in the northwestern part of the state outside of Memphis. Yeah, I mean, that's a fun trip because there's a lot of football talent there.
Yeah.
A lot of fields. And then Tunica.
Yeah,
which is a blast.
Gambling, yeah.
Yeah, Tunica's a blast.
Well, Trey Lamar is from Senatobia, and he has introduced a bill in the legislature. And it is called the National Collegiate Athletic Association Fairness in Fact Investigation Act of 2017. Now, here's the thing. Trey Lamar was a walk-on running back for Mississippi in the early 2000s. He basically wants to make it a little harder for the NCAA to investigate colleges. Why would that happen in Mississippi? I don't know. It would give the NCAA 1 year to complete their investigation once it has notified a school of possible rules violations. The measure would force the NCAA to deliver its official notice of allegations within 6 months of the day it sends a school preliminary letter of inquiry. If the sports governing body does not hold a hearing and hand out punishments within 1 year, the state, I can't say it without laughing, the state would fine the NCAA $10,000 a day until the ruling is made, until the final ruling comes out. Now, you know this, JC, you've watched this as I have, Lonzo, you too. It takes years sometimes for these investigations to play out. Years. This guy wants them wrapped up.
Yeah.
In 1 year.
Look, he has a point that sometimes these things take too long, linger too much, right. And the way it's shrouded in secrecy is bad. Because you're basically at the mercy of what gets leaked to the media, and that's not always accurate. You remember the Miami situation a couple of years back? It looked like, well, they're getting the death penalty. And then the final findings were not as bad. Mm-hmm. But the reason for that is the schools lawyer up and try to, you know, get in. And so that's what takes so long.
And they use every day of their response time that's allowed
to do that. And it you know, so what are you going to do? You're going to find the NCAA when Ole Miss is not cooperating, or Mississippi State, right, or Southern Miss, or whoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to me, that's a knee-jerk reaction by a politician that doesn't understand the process, because Ole Miss is sitting at 13th in the SEC in recruiting rankings right now, and they're blaming the NCAA investigation. Mm-hmm. But look, I mean, you don't want this to happen. You know, maybe you don't get so bold as to go recruit Laramie Tunzel,
right,
who comes with his stepfather in tow, who was a crazy person, and, you know, opens yourself up to an unappreciative leaking of tweets and text and info on draft day, and an admission from
videos.
Laramie Tunzel,
yeah,
that he got money. I mean,
yeah,
you know, don't maybe you just let him. He's an offensive tackle. He's a great one. But maybe, you know, how many games did he really help Ole Miss win? Could they have not gotten a tackle of lesser value that could have held up? Yes. I mean, they were winning with defense there for a while and sort of their spread attack. So, you know, to me, I think that you know, Ole Miss is trying to kind of play the tough guy here, and that's what it's about. It's not about Mississippi State or Southern Miss or any of the other programs in that state. It's about Ole Miss and the
sure
Rebels.
Is.
And, you know, from the defiance of Hugh Freeze on Twitter to this ridiculousness, you know, the NCAA is a bureaucracy. The NCAA has proven that if you don't cooperate with them and you act in an arrogant manner like Southern Cal, that got way worse punishment than they deserve just because Reggie Bush had agents giving him money. And Ole Miss, this is more institutional and on the surface worse. If you act in this manner, they are going to stick it to you. Right or wrong, they're going to stick it to you. And if I were them, I would just try, you know, I would lay low about this, because when you... You know, I remember Mike Garrett, the SC athletic director, talking about when the sanctions were out, this is just a whole lot of jealousy and all this other stuff. And you know, SC served a probation that they should not have served for what happened, for the actuality of what happened. And so, you know, I think Ole Miss is going about it in a wrong way. I think they're frustrated because maybe some other schools in the SEC prior to them, you know, making things comfortable for their student athletes, we're getting by with it. And so they feel like, oh, well, we're getting picked on or whatever, because it's not a fan base and an institution that's, you know, above accusing others of, I guess, bias against them. And I think they're going about it the wrong way. I don't think this helps them. I don't think this helps Hugh Freeze. I don't think this helps Ole Miss. I think it's going to make things a lot worse. And even if they pass the law, how are you going to enforce it? I mean,
well,
you can command your member institutions to leave the NCAA.
Mm.
But
yeah, good luck with that.
We're going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can send them a bill. You say, hey, $10,000. Tomorrow you can say, all right, $20,000. What happens if they don't pay it?
I mean, you know, where's the jurisdiction?
Right.
And how do you enforce it even if you do have the right to fine them? I don't know how they would end up doing
that. That investigation's in its fourth year, and that is a long time. I mean, you know, it's just dragging and dragging. But there have been the Tunzel thing that came out last year.
I mean,
and all this stuff's added on to it.
And initially the response was, well, you know, we had this guy here before Hugh Freeze got here doing this. And they kind of threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
And then everything else comes out. I mean, I don't think Ole Miss people really understand that, you know, when you sign the fifth-ranked recruiting class, you know, they signed a great recruiting class in 2013. You can explain Laquon Treadwell, the top receiver in the country from the state of Illinois, going there because his teammate went there. You can explain Robert Kimdichie, the number one player in the country, going there because his brother went there. I mean, what are you going to say about that? All their other top guys outside of Laramie Tunzel were Mississippi kids. Mm. So how can you not explain, and West Tennessee kids from Memphis. So how do you explain that? You can. That's legit. All right. You go and get the number one offensive tackle in the country, which gives you three of the top five players in the country. And he was going to Georgia until a week before signing day and had Florida and Florida State. I mean, Laramie Tunsil is from a part of the country where 99% of the people or 95% of the people there are Gators. The other 5% are Seminoles. You know, Georgia was pretty fortunate to be in it because the kid wanted to leave the state or whatever. Georgia had him wrapped up. What I was told was Georgia's assistant coaches and Rick went in there for the in-home, thought it was done, and all of a sudden everybody had Ole Miss gear on. You know, and look, man, that happens. I mean, guys change their mind and all
sure
that. But you combine that with the fact that Tunsil basically admitted he was getting paid, or said he was getting paid, mm-hmm. and those texts that came out. And then the fact that, you know, the guy that recruited him for Ole Miss, he's no longer there. You know, we didn't have a lead recruiter on his profile for Tunsil at 24/7 Sports. And the recruiter says, I don't really want my name on it. I mean, so you tell me what happened. And, you know, that's why the NCAA has been up Ole Miss's behunkus. I like that word, behunkus. My mom used to use it. Because, you know, they got too greedy. I mean, honestly, you can explain all those other top guys, but you can't really explain Laramie Tunsil. You unless, you know, what caused him to want to go to Ole Miss? And that's the thing. And that's why you gotta, if you're gonna, you know, to have some situations like that, which a lot of schools do, you gotta be very selective and make sure you can trust the people that you are dealing with. Let's just put it that way.
The NCAA expected to serve Ole Miss with an amended notice of allegations. That's supposed to happen sometime, fairly soon. Also, JC, out of the SEC West, LSU has dismissed a defensive lineman, Trevante Valentine, for a second time. Ed Orgeron announcing that today. They put out a release. Says he violated team rules. You know, did the usual we wish him the best stuff. It's the third time he's been dismissed, or a program has dismissed him in the past 19 months. Sat out his freshman year, waiting to be cleared academically. Les Miles kicked him off the team July 2015. He was dismissed at Arizona Western College a few months after his arrival. He claimed to have gotten his act together, spent 6 months at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. Miles' staff offered him a second chance, came back to LSU in August, and now he's been kicked off again.
Yeah, he's a tremendous talent, but a guy that, you know, and I say this sometimes, and it's not universal because you're always dealing with different people, but sometimes the kids that change high schools a lot and handle the recruiting process with a cavalier attitude and don't have anybody really helping them, they end up running into situations like this. There's a higher percentage of them that do. And Trevante Valentine was a hot mess during his recruitment. I mean, it was here, there, yonder, wherever. He changed high schools his senior year, went to a little private diploma mill type place down in South Florida. And the bad thing about it is, he is a tremendously talented football player.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad thing about it is the guy's probably costing himself millions because he can't keep his act together.
Right.
But it comes as no surprise. I mean, Valentine was, you know, always a guy that you kind of put a little check mark by or a question mark by. And I hope he gets it together and finds a place to land and maybe goes down a level or something, a place he can get to and kind of get his act together and try to achieve his dreams. Because he's not a bad person. He's just a guy that had a lot of maturity issues.
5 games he ended up playing for LSU and totaled 10 tackles. That's it. A lot of promise, but not much production. 356-pound lineman. Big dude there. And we'll see. We'll keep an eye on where Valentine ends up. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's get a call in before we go to the break. Jim, welcome into the huddle. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good day yesterday, good day today. Got to play golf both days. Everything's looking up.
All right. What's up today?
What about good thing North Carolina ain't got one of those laws where the NCAA had to pay them $10,000.
Well, they might go in with Mississippi on that. They could do it.
They might do that. We wouldn't have no problem money up here then. Where they dragging that out at Carolina.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. I'm sure they'd love to.
Have you heard anything else about that? What's going on up there?
No, I mean, I think we're in another one of those, they've got 3 months to respond to the response, and they're taking all of it. They'll run it down to the last week of the deadline and then respond, and that's why it takes so long. I mean, they could speed it up by responding earlier. They don't do that.
That's right. That's right. But what gets me is trying to blame everything on the girls' basketball team.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, they're not going to never blame nothing on Dean Smith or Roy Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be, but still. But I want to call and tell you, I'm a big Clemson fan, but I certainly am proud of South Carolina's basketball team. They're doing good. And I listened to it last night on the radio.
And they
didn't play real swell, but they come out with a win. That's all that matters.
Yeah, when you can win games and you shoot less than 30%, you got something going for you. And I think it was defense last night.
Yeah, I'm going to ask JC about the young man leaving Bowling Springs, going to South Carolina. You too, about going to South Carolina and going to play baseball.
Oh, Mason Street.
He's a better baseball player than he is a football player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what he's always planned on doing. So,
was it? Okay.
He's been a baseball. He committed to baseball. Well, it's been a couple of years now. So, he's been on that path all along. He became a star football player. He was a backup quarterback at Burns for a while. And couldn't get the starting job, so he went over to Bowling Springs and got to the state championship. And that's awesome for him.
Yeah, I thought in the game against Burns, he played pretty well at quarterback for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, he's solid, but I think he is a better baseball player.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Back with more. We'll get to we'll get to JC's hot takes and sausage up next. So stand by. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Live and local sports talk from the Upstate for the Upstate with GMAC, JC, and Alonzo. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Coming up in about 19 minutes, we'll give you a keyword. You can text that keyword to a number we will pass along in case you haven't memorized it. And you can win $1,000. It's the $1,000 free cash stash 4 times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. here on ESPN Upstate, so stand by for that. Let's get to today's edition of Hot Takes and Sausage.
And now, the beating frenzy of sports talk continues on Hot Takes and Sausage.
Hey, I smell bacon.
Order up on The Huddle.
It's another day, another hit piece on Dabo Swinney from the national media, this time from the Washington Post, which has become one of the most dishonest publications in the country during the last year and a half. Kevin Blackstone, a columnist and a Maryland professor, writes about Dabo, blah, blah, blah. Why is he saying this about Martin Luther King and the entitlement quote and all that good stuff? Meanwhile, in the column, he promotes Maryland portraying them as the only school in the country that guarantees scholarships for 4 years, which is hogwash. The whole thing's just garbage. You can go read it if you want. But here's my question. Why is Dabo being vilified all of a sudden for comments he made a long time ago? And here's why. Dabo's a southern white guy from little old Pelham, Alabama. He believes in Jesus. He talks openly about his Christian faith. He doesn't talk like the media elites on the left and doesn't subscribe to the same social justice narrative that they do. Therefore, they do not think he has a right to his opinion. It's cultural bias masked in political correctness at its worst. A lot of people are sick of being told by ivory tower elites how to think, act, and feel. If Dabo expressed his opinions and values and they lined up with that crowd's worldview, there would be tons of columns praising him. He's a visionary. He's a revolutionary. And that's the word that it's all about, though, there. It's the ultimate example of why the media has lost a chunk of this country. The selectivity of their definition of diversity and respecting all opinions. Dabo is just the next most convenient target. On that topic, it's a sad day when Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, that don't get in the Hall of Fame, either one of them, because of performance enhancers, receive more votes than Curt Schilling. Because Schilling, like Sweeney, doesn't fall into step with the liberal left PC crowd, and the media votes on the Hall of Fame. Bonds and Clemens cheated the game. You had a guy who has his own beliefs and who made most of his waves after he retired get shunned even worse. Shame on the voters. I think we need some new ones. Finally, locally, I wish the South Carolina High School League would reconsider its football playoff formula where only region games count. You only get so many times in your life as a football player to play the game, and the players at the high school level deserve to have every game matter at least some. What you saw last season was essentially half the year for some schools, consisting of glorified exhibitions. That serves nobody, and it is bad for the sport. Now for the sausage. GoFundMe may be the most predatory online application of our time. Literally anyone can blow up the most routine of happenings and ask for money for it. I don't doubt that it does good for some people who actually need it, but I continue to see headlines about accounts being set up for the most trivial matters, and they raise a ton of cash. Some people have no shame in this day and age, and people out here that just want to give their hard-earned cash away need to be a little smarter, and the root of the cause these days lies with GoFundMe. So there you go. There's the hot takes and sausage for today.
I saw one earlier this week, a GoFundMe for a guy whose tools were stolen out of his truck.
I know. I'm like, man. Do you have?
I want to replace my tools.
If you have any kind
here's
of
where you can donate
property insurance or anything. I mean, you know, there was somebody I know had a fire and lost a significant amount of stuff, but yeah. You know, she was okay and all that. And right. Some of her white knights on the internet, which are guys that you know come to the rescue of the maidens in distress, they set her up a GoFundMe page. It raised $8,000. Her neighbors lost their two pets. And significantly, their pets died. They were left with nothing because they didn't have insurance or anything. And their GoFundMe only raised $2,100. So, you know, a lot of times it's kind of very telling about our society and kind of how we operate and the, I guess, overreaction to certain things. I mean, there's no need to raise $8,000. On a GoFundMe page because you lost some clothes and some jewelry and stuff.
Yeah. Now, the good news is you don't have to contribute. You know? I mean, it's just...
That is the good news.
It's social
people
media.
People are suckers. And like I said, there's a white knight aspect to it where it's, you know, oh, pretty girl. I'm going to give her $1,500 because she maybe she'll go out with
yeah,
me. I mean, a lot of guys think that
way.
Hey, don't they, look, try saying something smart to a good-looking woman on Twitter. Mm. You're going to have 15 guys rush to their defense. Do you think she goes out with any of them? No. More likely to go out with the guy that insulted her.
That's sad.
That's the truth.
844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We will come back with more. Wrap up hour number one here in the huddle. We're going to get to the NFL stuff coming up. Also, Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft coming up, too. Stay with us. The huddle on ESPN Upstate.
G-Mac, Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back. You're in the huddle, ESPN Upstate. Kerry Rich, former Gamecock guard, joins us at 2:20 this afternoon. We're talking about South Carolina basketball. They got a big win over Florida last night, 4-point win. The Gamecocks get a big RPI win. They got a big game coming up with Kentucky this weekend, but off to a great start. Now Kentucky and South Carolina, the only undefeated teams in conference play in the SEC. All right, let's get to another feature. The tweet of the day in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.
He has like 15,000 tweets. That's insane.
Now, the tweet of the day in the huddle.
All right, JC, you call this one to my attention. It warrants a tweet of the day highlight. Mike Leach, Washington State. Talking about SEC offenses, Southeastern Conference offenses. Here's what he said. Stick all your asses together so one hand grenade can kill everybody.
I love Mike Leach.
I got to find the audio of that.
I love Mike Leach.
We played some Mike Leach audio before, and then when he goes on a rant and just starts rambling, that's even better.
It's vintage Mike Leach.
But that's classic. Now we'll get a little feud going with Mike Leach, which I like. Tweet of the day there from Mike Leach in the huddle. Your chance to win coming up. We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 here in the huddle with a keyword that is just a few minutes away, right before 2 o'clock this afternoon. What should we finish up with? How about the Raiders? They have filed the paperwork to move to Las Vegas. That announcement today, this is still not official, and it's still going to be a couple of years away, but it looks like it's going to happen. I mean, it's just rolling right along, right? They had to do it by February 15th. They have done it today. But three-fourths of the NFL team owners have to approve it, 24 out of 32. I don't think that would be a problem. Got to think that they're going to do that. They also have to figure out the stadium issue there. A $1.9 billion domed stadium. That's a little pricey. 65,000 seats in Vegas. That'll include $750 million in hotel tax revenue, $650 million from Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire casino owner, and $500 million from the Raiders and the NFL. That keeps just anybody from starting up their own NFL team, I guess. You know, my question is this. How is a team in Vegas going to draw? I mean, are there going to be enough locals to support a team in Vegas? Because I don't think, if you're going to Vegas, I don't think you want to go to a football game if you're coming in from out of town. So you got to have the locals support this team. Do you think they'll do that?
All right, so I'll say this. I've been to Las Vegas a lot, and I've talked to some locals out there and sort of, yeah, because when you're out there covering recruiting, you kind of get off the strip and go to the parks and the restaurants off the strip, and you get to know people that actually live there and things of that nature. And you would be surprised at how much they love UNLV football, not just bad. They love basketball because they were great in basketball, but they actually show up for UNLV football. And how much they like NFL, like the Chargers. I mean, there's a lot of Chargers fans in Vegas. And yeah, I mean, just the sample size that I've talked to, they're all, it's a good sports town. I mean, you know, that town basically supported the sport of boxing for decades. And I think it'll work. I mean, and if you look at the population numbers in Las Vegas, it's grown as a residential destination. A lot of people have moved out of Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
4 hours to the west, because there's no state income tax in Nevada. It's one of the least expensive places to live in the country in terms of taxation and things of that nature. And they have some nice neighborhoods and the desert climate. People like that. And it's a growing metropolitan area as far as where people live.
Mm. 2 million people in the region, 600,000 in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, because Henderson is a big suburb and some things like that. So I think they can support it. I think they'll get some support from Southern California and Northern California Raiders fans. But the Raiders being kind of one of the most well-recognized brands in pro football. You know, if the Chargers had moved there, even though there are some Chargers fans, I think maybe that would have been an issue. But this is the Raiders, man. I mean, people that come in from out of town, you know, there's Raiders fans all over the country. So the people that come in from out of town that are Raiders fans are probably going to pick up a ticket. It also helps them in terms of UNLV football because they'll be playing there. And helps the Las Vegas Bowl. And also, you know, you can never have too many entertainment venues there.
Mm.
You know, so I think it'll work. I'm excited about it.
Let me get a quick comment from Bobby while we're on the topic before the top of the hour. Bobby, what do you think about all this?
Hey, so just real quick, guys, two real quick thoughts on that. One, the Las Vegas to me just feels like the Raiders. I don't know why.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It just does. And number two, one big thing I think, it's only 8 football games. You're not baseball or basketball trying to do 41 games and 81 or whatever it is for baseball. So, I mean, 8 football games, I think they can pull it off. So that's all I got, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Bobby. Yeah, he makes a good point. I mean, you're talking about filling it up for 8 football games into 65,000 seats. So I guess that's doable. How much is the community going to support it? You know, I mean, football, it's not just about the people that come to the game. It's all the auxiliary advertising and all that. And yeah. I would imagine there's plenty of that to go around in Vegas.
Plenty of ad dollars in Vegas. And, you know, the casinos are really good and about that. And I think it'll be a good deal. I mean, look, and it also kind of depends on what they do at the stadium. Are they going to have a sports book at the stadium? Because, I mean, in a dome stadium like that, if you get club-level seats, you can go in there, watch an NFL game, be at the stadium, drink all day, and play NFL, you know, gamble on
it. Roger going to go for that?
We'll I don't know, you know. I mean, so, but those are all interesting things.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.